This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bites. I've already said that, haven't I? See, I told you we were at a rough ride. I'm in the studio with...
Alvin Ibrage.
And Frida Liu.
Who are both giggling away. We've asked you for some feedback regarding how you deal with difficult customers and difficult clients and whatnot. We've had some WhatsApps. We've had some tweets. Who wants to go first?
I'll go with my WhatsApp because it's just one at the moment. And this is from Karen Teng Ju. He said, difficult clients are fun. I always make sure to be sarcastic professionally when the time is right to keep them in check. Works for me all the time. So she's got a meme here. When a client tells me they know brokers that charge less, I let them know that I know clients that pay more.
Oh, I like that. Yes, yes.
We have a message from Ivan who says, if it's something you can do to and resolve, go ahead. Otherwise, refer them elsewhere and explain nicely why you can't. Never lie. Some complaints I've dealt with was about food served during holiday tours when taste is a personal preference. Look for other areas to make a difference, such as quality, such as quantity and variety. Know exactly what the complaint is about. Then we have a message from Suraya who says, B2C business, higher security and good crisis communications team, and B2B business, finish the job, then thank you, next.
That kind of makes sense. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for those suggestions. Do keep them coming in. WhatsApp number 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Moving on to story number two. Why older workers are the economy's hidden asset. Right, so... the association of old age with inevitable decline runs deep. To carry on with work, or indeed with anything more demanding than an afternoon lecture, a movie, an early dinner, nap in my case, during the traditional retirement years seems cute at best and depressing at worst. So there's an economist called John Kenneth Galbraith. And he says, you know, that these common reactions is very condescending, slightly, you know, admirational. But what he says, you know, you have this the still syndrome. And it's often the young asking these questions. Are you still well? Are you still working? I see that you're still taking exercise, still having a drink. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a woman that I read about called Luann Mullin. She's 71. And she's got a portfolio of activities in recent years, paying gigs, volunteer jobs. And she says life is full. She's a project manager for a nonprofit organization that focuses on older adults and the disabled. She's got a coaching business and workshop. She's doing acting gigs, portfolio of volunteer ventures. But he goes on to talk about how the demographic of aging ranks as one of the most significant long-term forces shaping the US economy and society, alongside globalization, automation, and climate change. So I'm going to throw out some statistics, but listen to this, because these numbers are striking. The US Census Bureau forecasts that those individuals 65 years and older will account for more than 21% of the US population, which is about 73 million in 2030. Older Americans are living longer on average. Life expectancy for people reaching 65 now averages at 19.4 years. That's up from 13.9 years in 1950. So how older workers are starting more businesses. For instance, the future trajectory of housing markets, public transportation, urban design will all be shaped by mature adults. We all think, you know, the millennials want this, the millennials want that. It's not about them. We have to remember that the population is aging and they need ease of access for everything. Mm-hmm. Cities are becoming, you know, age-friendly because we have an aging population. Now, a large amount of research suggests that given the opportunity, people in the second half of life can be as creative, innovative, and entrepreneurial as their younger peers, and often more so. Right. Experienced adults are experimenting with different ways to stay attached to the economy, including self-employment, entrepreneurship, full-time jobs, part-time work, flexible employment, and what they're calling on-call careers. I'm sure you've heard of that as well. Now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, between 1995 and 2016, the share of men ages 65 to 69 in the labor workforce rose from 28% to 38%. The comparable figures for women was 18% up to 30%. Now, another big number with a critical message. 55 to 64-year-old group accounted for 25.5% of all new entrepreneurs in 2016, which was up 14.8% from 1996. You know, put it this way. The 50-plus population will start more businesses in the years ahead than any other demographic. Baby boomers are better educated than previous generations. True. They're also healthier, with a 65-year-old today having the same risk of mortality or serious illness as those in their mid-50s just a generation ago. Now, a big reason behind the change in employer attitudes is the relatively tight labour market of recent years. Employers continuously complain they can't find the qualified labour they need. Mm. What's the best thing to do? Turn to people you know who have been qualified. Just because right. they're a little bit older does not mean anymore that they are incapable of doing the work that previously we'd have written them off and said, you know, he's too old to do that, or he's too old to do
and
that.
And even the virtues of hard work. They've come from a place of nothing.
Yeah.
And so they're so used to just, you know, good old...
Getting on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But reading those statistics, it really, really drove it home, you know, how we've been pushing this agenda of millennials, or Generation Z, or Generation Zero, is it they're calling it now, the next whatever.
Alpha.
Mm-hmm. When really, you know, we're forgetting that actually it's the older people that are... Older people that are making up a huge amount of numbers.
Yeah, I don't think there's one thing. I don't think people know how to deal with people who are post-retirement, senior employees and stuff. I still don't think companies know exactly what to do or how to handle a situation like that, because most times, and I can speak about this just watching my dad. So he retired about 7 years ago officially, and after that he didn't want to have anything to do with the corporate. He was like, you know, I've been there for like 30 plus years, I want to do something different. So he joined like NGOs and he joined like smaller companies. He wanted to help out, he wanted to do sort of like part-time basis things. So half of those companies that he joined either sort of like treated him like he was a fresh graduate because they didn't know how to compensate him or how to use his skills, and the others just sort of looked at his experience and went, okay, since you've been doing this for like 30-35 odd years, here's what you can do. And they just shoved everything on his desk. So, you know, one way they saw it was to just make full use, like exploit what he could do.
Yeah.
And the other way was that they had no idea how to deal with him. So they just looked at him as a senior employee and wanted to push the same thing they were pushing to like the youngest people who joined the company.
I mean, not that I'm too old, Frida, before you start, you know, having a laugh at me. But I have been in a situation where I've walked into somewhere, I've plunked down my CV, and they've gone, you're overqualified, we can't hire you.
Hmm.
And my response was, exploit me, I need work.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, at that point, I needed work, you know? But to do that and grab everything and say, okay, do this, it's too much, you know?
And especially in countries like America or Japan, where you've got an aging workforce, you've got to leverage on the skills that they have and these skills, you know? And also at the same time, wherever you are at any age, reskill, always reskill and upskill and change so that you'll always be relevant. I think that's also another thing, and not be set in your ways.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about autonomy and autonomous vehicles, and we're talking about it for us, you know, when in reality, it's probably not going to be us who's going to be using them more than people who are over the age of 65. It's them that are going to need it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to want to drive. They're at that age where they think, you know, just whatever, I just want to get in, get there, and if it gets me there without me even having to think, perfect. And then we all benefit from that.
Yeah, and for some reason, it's people think that the younger ones are the ones that have a lot of money to spend, or they are like the prime demographic. So once you leave like that, the 50-year age bracket, then there's no content made for you, there's nothing, access is not given to you. You've sort of been pushed into like that senior citizen bracket, and then everyone else is focused on when... I don't know why, but that makes no sense. Even in like any companies, when they go like new is always good, because these the senior the older people are the ones who have done more than the younger guys coming
in. For sure.
Yeah. So the same way we look at like textbooks or like guides, or when you get something, you look at like a manual to know how you use it. These people have done that before you. So I don't know. I still stand with I have the opinion like most companies don't know how to handle that age bracket yet. They still think young or new is better, and they still don't know how to make full use of that skill set. It's a waste.
All right, let's take a break. We've got some music coming up now from Stevie Wonder with For Once in My Life. Keep the suggestions coming in regarding whether or not or how you deal with difficult customers or clients. And if you have an opinion about why older workers are the economy's hidden assets, let us know about that as well. We'd like to have a chat. The WhatsApp number 018-789-8899. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio. When we come back, we will be talking about whether or not you should always take that promotion.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.